City Hospital, reception speaking.
Sister Hutchings. Why, hello, sister. Dr. Meredith. Well, no, I can't. You see, he's in the operating theatre.
Night City Hospital begins on the third floor of the orthopedic wing. A tall, good-looking girl in her early 20s has just finished packing her bag and is ready to depart when...
Dick, you shouldn't have. We've said our goodbyes.
I just thought I'd like to carry your bag to the lift. Oh,
darling, what'll everybody say? Dr. Meredith carrying the bag of a nursing sister.
I had to see you once more. It is all right, isn't it? Between us, I mean.
Of course it is, darling. Oh, please, I'd better go. I've said goodbye to Matron and everyone, and... Can't you see it isn't easy for me?
I'd feel so much better about the whole thing if you weren't so mysterious, you... You won't tell me where I'm to write. You won't say why you've got to return home so suddenly. Even Dr. Marlowe...
Please, don't make it more difficult for me. I love you. Now, if you love me, you'll go straight back to surgery. One of the porters will take my bag. Now, please do as I say.
Just tell me where I can write. We're going to get married, remember?
Dick, go away.
All right. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Dick.
Don't we kiss?
Dick, I wish I could tell you, but I can't.
Then why don't you trust
Bill?
Me?
Bill?
Yes, sister?
I'm ready. My bag's right here.
All right, sister. Oh, afternoon, Dr. Meredith. Dan Orton see you in orthopedics.
We understand, sir.
We're all going to miss her. You know that, don't you, Sister Hutchings?
Well, now, we've both said our goodbyes. Let's not get sentimental. There's my bag, Bill.
Oh, all right, sister. Taxi's waiting at the main entrance.
Then let's go.
Have you heard? Brisk soap with T24 is down in price.
Really? You mean Brisk soap? The family soap that keeps us fresh all over, all day?
That's the one. Brisk in the bath size now costs only 15 cents, and the standard size Brisk is only 10 cents.
So now it costs us even less to keep fresh all over, all day.
Get real value. Buy Brisk soap.
Stop bad breath with Colgate. Fight tooth decay all day.
Colgate's active penetrating foam gets into hidden crevices between your teeth, removing decaying food particles, the cause of much bad breath and tooth decay. Stop bad breath and fight tooth decay with Colgate.
Nog meer resultate. Van die surf toets vir witheid. Nog meer bewyse dat surf met Super Blue 'n opwindende nuwe witmaak vermoë het. Luister wat sê mevrou van Veenhuizen van Witbank.
Surf witheid is 'n feit. Ek het dit vir myself bewys.
Mevrou Gelender van Walkerville.
Dis verbasend, maar dit werk. Surf gee ware witheid terug.
Probeer dit self. Vergelyk surfgewaste witheid met enige ander witheid en jy sal saamstem. Surf gee weer ware witheid aan u wasgoed.
Come in.
I brought you the case history of Mrs. Lawrence in Ward G.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, we're worried about her. Doesn't seem to be responding as well as she should.
No, sir. Personally, I think we ought to take her off phylacogene and try one of the other groups.
I'm glad you suggested that. Great minds think alike. Oh, don't look so glum. She's got over the worst of that, I'm sure.
Yes, am I, Dr. Marlowe. It isn't Mrs. Lawrence I'm worried about.
Sister Hutchins?
I can't understand it. She promised to write. She's been away nearly 3 weeks. Anything might have happened. She might have met with an accident.
Nonsense. We'd have heard soon enough. Your fiancé asked for 6 months' leave of absence. She'll be writing to you soon. I must confess I was a little astonished when she felt that she couldn't give us an address to forward her letters.
Well, that's it, sir. It's all so mysterious.
Why don't you start worrying? Look at you. You're quite pale. Yeah, come over to the light.
What is it? What is it, Dr. Marlowe?
Yeah, I'm not sure. You eating and sleeping reasonably well?
As well as can be expected under the circumstances. For a woman who's supposed to be my fiancée, she's acting very strangely indeed. Either she wants to marry me or she doesn't. she doesn't, you'd think that at least she'd have the courage.
Excuse me. Yes?
Dr. Molly, Dr. Mayer has asked us to let him know as soon as there were any messages or letters for him. A reception says there's a letter for him. It's one of those airmail letter cards. On the back it gives the sender Sister Hutchings.
Well, you said he'll be pleased to hear that. Send it up, please, Will.
Oh, at last. Now, I've never loved these little intercommunication boxes. They've always seemed to me so impersonal. But yours, Dr. Marlowe. Henceforth, I shall think of it with great affection.
Ah.
The letter for Dr. Murphy.
Ah, thank you. Do you mind if I...
Read it here, by all means. Oh, Nurse.
Oh, yes, Doctor?
Dr. Meredith has just given me Mrs. Lawrence's card. Please take to Dr. Pearson, will you, and say we recommend that the patient be taken off phylacergine and put on antibiotics.
Right, sir.
Delightful. Charming.
What is it?
Listen to this as an example of how a love letter should be written. Dear Dick.
Are you sure you want to read it?
Listen. Dear Dick, we cannot get married. It's been a mistake from the very beginning. Please try to forgive and forget me. I shall find it difficult to write any more. Think of you always. Sheila. Woman's logic. I'm not to think about her anymore, but she'll think of me always. Oh, what a cowardly way to end an engagement. It's incredible. I can't believe it. I'm sorry, Dr. Marlowe. I shouldn't have foisted my personal relations on you like this.
I'm sorry, too. It's about character. Richard, I've been worried about you for the last couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
Please let Jack Norris have a look at you.
Oh, it isn't necessary, Dr. Marlowe.
I must insist.
All right. If you think it's necessary. I have been out of sorts and livers. It's been worrying about Sheila. Now that I know where I stand with her... Oh, please don't look so concerned. I'm sure it's just a temporary liver condition.
Okay, Dick. You can get up now.
Liver, isn't it?
Yes. There's no question but that it's hepatic. I should watch your diet for a bit. Oh, sorry. You're a senior surgeon. I'm certainly teaching a doctor suck eggs.
No doctor can really diagnose himself, and you know it. But if I have got some form of hepatitis, I'll have to do something about it, I suppose.
Well, let's first find out the cause. Could be anything. Could be catarrhal, leptospiral. And the truth is, Dick, we'll have to take some more tests before we know what sort of infection you've got on your liver. Oh, by the way, sorry about Sheila.
Oh, I suppose I'll get over it.
Well, I'd better make out a report card.
What are you going to say?
You're not going to like it. I'm going to say, memo to medical director from Dr. J. Morris, re Dr. R. Meredith. A diagnosis, acute hepatitis. Suggest Schneider test. Order to bed immediately.
Order to bed? Boy, this is nonsense.
I knew you wouldn't like it. I'm sorry, Dick. I'm only doing what you would do if our positions were reversed. Well, look at the color of your skin, man. No, it's into hospital for you. As a patient.
Now, wait a minute, Jack. You're giving me a hearty bedside manner. Reserve that for your private patients. You're worried. Why the Schneider test? You don't think my liver... Jack, do you suspect a malignancy?
We've worked together and we've been friends for too long. I respect you too much to tell you anything other than the truth. I don't know. I don't think so. That's because... Oh, well, let's not jump the fences before we reach them. I'm simply playing safe. I'm giving you the sort of treatment for acute hepatitis that you would give any other patient. At this stage, no one could tell whether there's a malignancy or not. Morning, Dr. Marlowe.
I thought I'd bring you the news. The two preliminary tests are fine.
Oh, thank goodness for that, but it doesn't tell us very much, does it, sir?
Oh, I don't agree. It's one more hurdle overcome.
We won't know whether I've got cancer of the liver until we've taken the Schneider test.
We don't think you have.
I'm afraid.
Well, of course you are. So would I be.
It's funny, isn't it? I loved Sheila. Loved her with all my heart and soul. You'd have thought after that letter she sent me, I wouldn't care if I lived or died, but I do. Look out the window. The sky's never seemed so blue. I don't want to die, Dr. Marlowe.
Of course you don't. You've too much to live for. Oh, I know that the letter from Sheila has shaken you, but we've dozens of patients. We need your services. They need you to help them get well again. So you'd better get well, too.
It's no longer in my hands, is it? Supposing...
Let's not suppose anything. Let's wait and see what the tests reveal. Now, you get some rest.
Look at these x-ray plates, sir. There's something there on that liver. But what?
Yes, but let's not be too despondent. That could be anything.
Oh, I know, sir. But what worries me is the fact that he's even more yellow than when we sent him to bed.
There's only one thing for it. Book the operating theatre, and the sooner the better, I'd say.
I'll get in touch with the theatre sister right away. The trouble is, well, when I tell Dick, he'll think the worst.
Take in these x-ray plates, and the last report from pathology. We have to convince him we're not holding anything back.
Well, there you are, Dick. Huh? That, on my word of honour as a fellow doctor and a friend, is the full story.
Let me have a look at that x-ray plate again now. Yes, it's a growth, all right. Ironical, isn't it? I must have looked at hundreds of x-ray plates. Look at me now, my hands trembling like a frightened child. Jack, I want you to promise me something. If, when you open me up, the condition's grim, you'll tell me. You won't start drugging me into a state of euphoria. There are things I have to do. There are one or two cases, particularly Mrs. Lawrence. I shall want to hand over my patients so that whoever handles them will have a very clear picture of the prognosis and diagnosis, and besides which...
I know exactly what you're trying to say, and I promise.
Brylcreem makes the most of a man, because Brylcreem makes the most of a man's hair. Brylcreem puts life into dry hair, gives it natural, lasting control. Brylcreem makes the most of a man. Brylcreem.
Berigte oor die surftoets vir witheid stroom in uit alle dele van Suid-Afrika. Toets die witheid van surfgewaste goed teen enige ander witheid en oortuig jieself dat surf weer ware witheid aan die wasgoed gee.
The greatest cleanser discovery ever, new Super Ajax, a completely new and different foaming cleanser. Super Ajax is fortified with Blankofen, the wonder bleach, to make sinks, basins, baths super white, super clean.
New Super Ajax, bum, bum. The foaming cleanser, bum, bum. With Blankofen, the wonder bleach.
Today, by Super Ajax, fortified with Blankofen.
Scalpel.
Scalpel.
Swab.
Swab.
Clamp.
Clamp.
Oh, I feel absolutely done in. The whole exercise didn't take more than an hour.
I understand exactly how you feel. Just watching has made me feel limp. Look, old chap, why don't you go and get some rest?
Dr. Marlowe, there are moments when I hate surgery, hospitals, and the whole human race.
You know, you're just suffering from reaction. You love surgery. You love this hospital. Otherwise, you couldn't do your work as well as you do.
He's my closest friend. I don't want anything to happen to him.
Well, we both agree that the chances are that nothing will. Now, you go on home. He'll be coming round in about 3 or 4 hours, and I'll be at his bedside, but he does.
Did I talk a lot when I was under, Dr. Muller?
Quite learnedly. You mumble about psychology, literature, you gave a graphic account of poor Mrs. Lawrence's ailment, but to the theatre sister's astonishment, not one swear word did you utter.
Oh, thank goodness for that. All right now.
Yeah, we're hoping for the best. We're waiting for the pathologist's report. Sister Hutchins.
They told me Dr. Merritt... Dick.
Come on in. Yes, he's still a bit weak. I don't stay too long.
She needn't stay at all.
Oh, darling. Oh, darling, you don't mean that. I've come back. My letter was all a mistake. Oh, please, darling, don't look at me like that.
Go away. I never want to see you again.
You must let me explain.
There's nothing to explain. Will you please go?
I think we'd both better go, sister. You try and rest, Richard.
Rest? How can I rest until we get the pathologist's report?
I'll see you later. Come on, sister.
Dr. Marlowe, may I talk to you, sir?
Yes, of course. You realize you're tearing your handkerchief to shreds?
Is he going to be all right?
Yeah, we're all praying the pathologist's report will show negative.
I'm praying, too. I came as soon as I heard, although it seems I might as well have stayed away.
Is that what you want to talk to me about?
Yes, Dr. Marlowe. I was going to write to you, sir. You see, I was...
Young lady, stop worrying about the patient and start at the beginning. Now, you asked me for 6 months' leave of absence without pay, and this was granted. That suggested that you had every intention of returning to work.
Oh, I had, but when I got home, it was worse than I thought. Well, you see, Doctor, I was too ashamed to tell anyone where I was going. I haven't been back home since I went into the nurse's college 9 years ago. My father married again, and I didn't want anything to do with my stepmother.
Go on.
Well, some weeks ago, I came across a Buxton newspaper. Here.
Buxton bank manager charged with murder. John Hutchins, age 51, appeared at the Buxton magistrate's court, charged with the murder of his wife, Millicent. It seems that she... Poison. But how horrible for you.
I couldn't believe it. He was alone. They'd gone to Buxton to live when the bank transferred him. That's why I asked for leave of absence. When I got there, it was even worse than I thought. I'm ashamed to say even I believed my father was guilty, knowing how she treated him. It was then that I sat down and wrote that letter to Dick. How could I marry him, the daughter? Oh, what a fool I've been.
I see. And now, your father?
The chemist discovered his mistake. He mislabeled the prescription. He was sentenced for culpable negligence. Here, it's in this newspaper cutting.
How awful.
I decided to stay with my father and look after him. I felt that was the least I could do after my lack of trust, but he wouldn't hear of it. He asked for and got a transfer to Princeton. I didn't quite know what to do, how to write and explain things to Dick, so I thought I'd telephone. I booked a trunk call and got through to reception. They told me he was being operated on and that it might be cancer. I booked a seat on a plane and here I am.
Are you ready to start work, sister?
But Dr. Meredith...
What about him?
How could I work in the hospital? I love him, Dr. Marlowe.
Supposing all is well, and Dr. Morris and I think it will be, you'd want to marry Richard, wouldn't you?
Want to? I know this sounds melodramatic, but I don't think I could live without him.
And he feels the same way about you.
Does he? You heard what he said.
No, you're doing him less than justice. You write him a letter saying it was all a mistake. You offer no explanation as to why the two of you shouldn't get married. And then you come rushing to his bedside. What is he to think, other than that you've heard of his illness and you've returned out of compassion and not love?
You think he'll give me a chance to explain?
Well, eventually, I hope. It'd be a false move to try and see him before we get the pathologist's report. If all is well, then we can work out a plan. If the worst happens, he'd not want to see you anyway.
The worst?
You're a trained and experienced hospital sister. You know that we must be prepared for any eventuality. If I were you, I'd report to Matron straight away and get back into harness. Keep your mind occupied. That's what we must all do. Work and wait.
It's here. I've got it. He's got a sarcoid. That's all it is. I'm sorry, sir.
Shut the door. Come on in and sit down. Is that the report?
Yes, sir. Here.
Thank you. A book sarcoid. None recurrent, none malignant. Now, that's what gave him the jaundiced look.
Yes, sir.
You know, somehow I feel as though 20 years have been taken off me. I wonder if I'd try to leap over this desk whether I'd be successful.
I shouldn't try it, sir, if I were you. You're going up now to tell him.
Dr. Morris, there's nothing finer than being a harbinger of good news. You've earned the right to take that pathologist's report, your friend.
Oh, when Irish eyes are smiling...
Has anybody told you you've got a terrible voice?
Has anyone told you that you've got a terrible liver? Fancy a man of your age having a sarcoid.
A what? Yeah. What's that in your hand?
You're in the clear. Hmm? Pathologist's report. Let me read some of it to you. Result of analysis, yeah. Blah, 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 blah. Shows a book sarcoid definitely non-malignant, non-recurring. Condition will clear in time. Congratulations on your sarcoid, Dr. Meredith. It couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
Look out the window. Oh, the sky looks really blue. Dr. Morris, would you prescribe your patient a large brandy?
Under the circumstances, yes, I would indeed.
And would you honor your patient by joining him in a little celebration?
Your doctor would be delighted, except not a large brandy, but a small one. Yeah. And no more drink until the condition clears up.
As the doctor wishes.
Met Nuvelus, rook een ransom en die smaak zal getuig, dus vergin is het tabak op zijn beste. Ransom biedt die rijk aangename geur van uitzoek vergin is het tabak met die exclusieve Ransom multifilter, wat daarin noodzakelijke balans tussen tabak en filter behoudt. Een nieuwe ondervinding een rookgenot. Ransom, voor die man wat bijrook en het geniet.
Handy Andy with ammonia shifts dirt faster. Shifts dirt like nothing else can. Grimy footprints clean off faster. Trodden in dirt wipes off cleaner. There's no need to rinse with Handy Andy, and it's safe for all household cleaning. Try Handy Andy. It shifts dirt like nothing else can.
Klinische toetsen het bewijs. Signal tandenpasta met gestripte hexachlorofin mondspoelmiddel geeft blijvende bescherming tegen kiemen. Bestrijd tandbederf. Hou je asem zuiver schoon tussen borsteltijen. Gebruik Signal tandenpasta.
Morning, Richard.
Morning, sir.
Yeah, you're getting up today.
Yes, sir. I shall be back at work soon.
Oh, no, you don't. Your annual leave is almost due. I'd be grateful if you'd take it now.
Oh, yes, all right, sir.
Good. Have you seen Sister Hutchins since she's been back?
No, Dr. Muller.
You're going to?
I doubt it, sir. She's in orthopedics. I shall be going back to surgery.
Oh, well, it's your affair. Perhaps I'm a little old-fashioned, but I didn't think that human beings could switch their affections on and off like an electric light.
I don't think they can. What human beings can do, or must learn to do, is to keep their emotions under control.
Why? A doctor must learn to do that when he's dealing with a patient. He must learn to overcome pity so that his judgment is clear and unsentimental. But not in his private life, surely. And I suppose you disapprove of Sister Hutchins' outburst when she learned that her father was charged with murder.
Charged with murder?
And the fact that he was proved innocent didn't quite remove the stigma, did it?
But what on earth are you talking about, sir?
I'm talking about your refusal to have anything to do with the woman you love.
Just a minute. Do you know why she came back? She thought I was at death's door.
Was that a bad thing to do?
Dr. Marlowe, what is all this? This fantasy about her father being charged with murder?
Since you won't give her the opportunity of doing so, I'll tell you why she asked for 6 months' leave of absence. Why she sent you that letter. You see, she'd heard that her father... She telephoned the hospital. You see, she hasn't got your logical, analytical mind. In both cases, she acted on impulse, born of love. She rushed to her father when she thought he was in jeopardy, and back here to you when she heard you were critically ill.
I see. What do I do now?
Well, that's up to you. What do you want to do?
Tell her I love her. want to marry her?
Well, what's stopping you?
The fear that she may rebuff me. I said some pretty harsh things. Would you...
act as Cupid?
Yes.
I'll try.
You sent for me, Dr. Molly.
Have you heard the news?
Yes, I asked Dr. Gibbons at the labs to let me know as soon as the results came through. What a relief for us all.
Yes, my dear. I didn't think he'd crack up like that, though.
Crack up?
No, you beware. You're lucky. As soon as he heard that he was in the clear, he began to blather that it was too late, that it didn't matter.
Didn't matter? Didn't matter whether he had a malignant growth or not?
Well, that's what he said. Said he'd thrown away his chances of happiness. Well, I tell him he was quite right. About him being a fool, I mean. It's all very well being noble, but there are limits.
I don't follow you, Dr. Marlowe.
Well, that act he put on for your benefit.
Act?
Oh, come, my girl, you're not as obtuse as all that. There he was, unsure whether he had cancer or not, not knowing whether he was going to live or die.
You mean he pretended not to love me anymore because he didn't want me to suffer? But...
By the way, I hope you don't mind. I told him about your father.
Oh, of course I don't mind. Did you tell him why I wrote the letter?
Yes, I did.
Why do you say he had a crack-up?
Well, he's quite convinced now that you won't forgive him.
But there's nothing to forgive.
Why don't you go up and tell him yourself?
There's nothing to forgive.
Yes, there is. I acted like a self-pitying fool.
Richard, how dare you call my fiancé a self-pitying fool?
Seriously, darling. What made you think that I wouldn't want to marry you, even if your father did what they accused him of doing?
Because if a person loves someone enough, they'll risk their own happiness rather than destroy that someone's career. And you'd never have been able to practice...
No, look, let's make a pact. Let's promise each other, shall we, that we'll forget your stupid letter to me and my stupid outburst. Agree?
Agreed.
Do you know you haven't kissed me since you've been back?
Oh, darling.
Thank you.